The Muslim sat forward abruptly. So the price? Waller looked at Rice once more, and then back at the man. And you say you're authorized to make an agreement? To paraphrase you, I wouldn't be here if I was not. And your name? Unimportant. The price? 200 million British pounds, wired to my account. Waller was about to say something else when the man said, Agreed. Waller glanced down at the Muslim's midsection, and then sniffed the air. He dropped his cell phone and bent down to pick it up. The next moment, Rice fell backward, as Waller picked up the table and pushed it on top of the Muslim. He grabbed Rice's arm and screamed to his men, Run! The next instant, Rice felt himself being flung through a window. A jagged edge caught him on the leg, tore his pants, and then bit into his thigh. Something landed on top of him, driving the wind from him. Then he was jerked up and pulled along, his breath coming in gasps, his injured leg bleeding badly. The concussive force of the house exploding hurled him ass over head. Debris poured down, even as he felt Waller covering him with his own body, the older man breathing in strained bursts. Once the boards, bricks, shattered glass, and the odd piece of furniture stopped falling, Waller and Rice slowly sat up. What the hell? Began Rice as he clutched his injured leg. Waller rose and dusted off his clothes. The idiot was a suicide bomber. How did you know? The thobe is designed to be loose-fitting. His clothes were too tight because dynamite sticks are bulky. His eyes were unfocused, and he was looking at us, but not looking at us. He was hiding something. And it's human nature to feel that if you don't look at someone, they can't see you. You'll also note that same instinct in dogs.
Unfocused eyes?
He was probably drugged to get through his mission. Because really, who wants to blow themselves up, even for virgins in paradise? And then there was the smell.
Smell?
Dynamite is contained in water-soaked wooden sticks. It has a distinctive odor. And I also got a whiff of metal, probably shrapnel balls contained in the canvas pack he had wrapped around his belly. That provides for maximum carnage at the point of origin. I dropped my phone so I could look under the table. There was a bag next to him. It held the battery with wires connected to the explosive that could detonate the bomb pack sewn around his body. Sewn so he couldn't easily remove it. That's why he put his hand under the table, to hold the detonator. And the man didn't rise to greet us, very unlike a Muslim. But dynamite packs are heavy, and he was probably afraid we might glimpse something suspicious if he exposed himself in that way. Waller shrugged resignedly. I should have seen it far earlier. Now let's take a look at your leg. He squatted down and tore open Rice's pants leg and examined the wound more closely. Sorry I had to push you through the window.
My God, Evan, you saved my life.
It's bleeding, but it's not deep enough to have hit an artery.
You're sure?
I've seen such wounds before. If it were an arterial wound, you wouldn't be conscious because you would have nearly bled out by now. He used strips from Rice's pants to fashion a rough bandage. We'll get you medical attention as soon as possible. He looked over at the house and saw one of his men staggering toward him. He hurried over to the fellow, took him by the arm. Pascal, are you hurt?
No, just got my bell rung.
Pascal was Greek, and his skin was dark, his hair darker still and curly. He was 5'9 and wiry, with a motor that never quit. He could run all day, shoot straight, possessed nerves of iron, never moved fast when caution was called for, and no one moved faster if the situation demanded ultimate speed. He was the smallest of Waller's men, and also the toughest. Since Pascal had come to stay with him when he was only 10 years old, Waller had groomed him to rise to the top of his security chain. He did not possess the mind to run the actual business, not like he or Alan Rice, but still the man was an invaluable piece of Waller's security team.
What about the others?
Tanner and Dimitri are dead. Dimitri's head got blown off. It landed in a damn flower pot. The rest of the guys are okay, just bumps and bruises. Explosion knocked out one of the trucks, though. Waller eyed the smoky mass near the front door. The Escalade had taken the brunt of the blast, fortunately shielding the other vehicles from damage. Screams came from their left, and Waller and Pascal started running in that direction. From out of the darkness, three people emerged, two struggling with one. Before Waller and Pascal could reach them, the two finally won. The captive was the man in the fine suit who'd led them into the house.
"Son of a bitch was trying to get away, Mr. Waller," said one of the men holding the captive's arms behind his back.
Waller reached over and gripped the turban man's throat.
"You want me to shoot him, Mr. Waller?" asked Pascal.
"No, no, Pascal. I need to talk to him first." Waller looked into the man's eyes.
"You are a little fish. That man who blew himself up, he too was a little fish that you throw back because it is not worth your time. But you are worth my time. I need to know who authorized this. Do you understand me?"
The man shook his head and started speaking rapidly in his native language. Waller answered him in his native tongue. He looked delighted at the shock in the fellow's eyes before ordering his men to collect Tanner's and Dimitri's remains.
"One more thing," said Waller. He reached in the captive's jacket and pulled out the customized 9mm pistol that had been confiscated earlier. "I'm quite fond of this gun. So fond, in fact, that I will use it to kill you, after you've told me what I need to know."
Riding back to the plane, Waller sat next to Rice.
"A doctor will meet us at the airfield and fix your leg," he said.
"Why would they invite us down here and then try to blow us up?"
"I don't know why yet, but I will find out. And then hit them back far harder than they just hit me."
Rice shook his head and gave a hollow laugh. Waller shot him a glance.
"What?"
"I was just thinking that after all this, you're going to really need that holiday in Provence."